At just 17 years old, Jordi Morgan moved into the Netherlands to chase her dream of entrepreneurship, but her journey doesn't stop there. From designing personalized face masks.
And that went really well, but it was a challenge because I was also doing my thesis.
Now a co-founder and host of the Bite the Bullet podcast.
I've said it on the podcast, sometimes I felt like I didn't really belong because my parents are foreigners.
Born on the beautiful island of Saba.
When people meet me, they're always like, what is Saba? And still to this day.
Not where is Saba, what is Saba?
That's what shook me. They're not even going to give me the respect of saying well.
She uses her platform to amplify voices.
I don't want to fall in the trap of being on a small island and then continuing to think small. One of my purposes, and especially a big one, is to share that. I never really think about these things, to be honest, so I understand why this is now Sunside Therapy. Sunside
Therapy. People, welcome to the Sunside Kingdom Show.
Oh, my cheeks hurt.
Welcome, Jordi.
That was so lovely.
And thank actually... you. I think we also said this in the invitation that our podcast aims to highlight amazing individuals from the Dutch Caribbean, all six islands, including Suriname.
Yep.
And now we have finally completed that mission because we have our first Saban on the podcast.
You know, I hear that quite, like, even when I say I'm from Saba, a lot of people say, you're the first Saban I met. Yeah, so I'm happy to bless the studio and the podcast. So thank you for having me. Awesome. I'm not going to lie, my cheeks was hurting when you was talking because I was like, you know, I sent some information, but wow, that was a great introduction.
Awesome. Thank you. So, Jordi in 2025.
Ooh.
So can I say Jordi or do I have to say Jojo Renee? Okay.
I'll explain the Jojo Renee.
Okay. So who is Jordi Morgan in 2025? And what are some of her accomplishments over the last 2-3 years?
Okay. I think Jordi Morgan in 2025 is definitely somebody who's excited about life, especially from this year because there's a lot in store. And she's somebody who's... I feel weird talking about myself in the third person. I am somebody who's creative, and I feel like that's at the forefront of my life, just in terms of what I'm doing in my career. A bit curious and quirky. So like I know odd things, but I think it helps in life.
Yeah.
And I feel like I've built myself to where I am from like the businesses I started. Because I started Masquerade. That was the name of the mask business.
Okay.
For the pandemic. And it was basically printing Caribbean flags on face masks.
Oh.
Because you know we're very patriotic.
Yeah.
But what I did was like a twist and put the flag in the shape of the country or island. And that went really well, but it was a challenge because I was also doing my thesis for my bachelor's. And I was working because, you know, I thought Duo was stopping because I wasn't going to go do my master's.
Yeah.
But then I was like, okay, I'm going to do a master's. So I still kind of had that pressure in the moment of like, okay, after this Duo is done, you know, I need to make sure I'm set.
Yeah.
But and then I also started Peak Jewelry. That was before Peak Consultancy.
Okay.
And that's this necklace. It's basically Saber because I feel like, a lot of people say.
Oh, nice. Now I see.
Yeah. People thought it was an M because my last name is Morgan.
Yeah.
But it's the mountain. But for me, it was important because when people meet me, they're always like, what is Saber? And still to this day.
Not where is Saber, what is Saber?
That's what shook me. They're not even going to give me the respect of saying, well, or, oh, what island is that? No, what is that? So for me, it's like you're going to see it straight up. I can just point to that. So that's where I continued. And I think that was my coping mechanism a little bit, being away from the island. Because you're away from home. And don't get me wrong, I love the big city life. Like, say it was 5 square miles. So it was, I wasn't planning to
five.
Go.
Wow.
Yeah, 2,000 people, guys.
Yeah.
Everybody know your business. But yeah, and then Peak Consultancy was a way for me to get out to the 9-to-5. Because I always knew I wanted to be an entrepreneur, but there was moments where I was like, okay, let me try something steady, but also get experience. So I started a job at Stradivarius. That's one of, you know, like Zara and Bershka.
Okay, yeah.
It's one of the sisters.
Yeah.
And I quickly became manager,
oh,
which
wow.
was crazy. And I manifested that. I was telling in my previous podcast with I was telling her, I wrote on a piece of paper, like, I'm so happy in my job. My team loves me. Up to this day, I can't find that piece of paper.
Oh, wow.
But it materialized because when I started, it was like the aim was to do part-time so I could mm-hmm. work on peak consultancy mm-hmm. and build that up so that I could just rely on that. But 3 months later, they were like, okay, we want you to be a manager. And I was what? Yeah, because this was my
and
first
how old are you at this point?
When was that? I was 23.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, because this was my first proper, I would say, full-time job. Because I was doing little jobs, like mm-hmm. in hospitality and stuff. But this was quite big for me. But the craziest part is we had a team of 32. Mm-hmm. And there was 3 managers. And I was becoming the third. But when I became a manager, the 2 other managers got COVID.
Oh, shit.
So it's like taking me and just flinging me in the deep end. Like no life jacket, anything. But I'm really
swim, survive.
I water, metro, everything. But it taught me a lot quickly. Mm. And I was able to kind of get out of the 9-to-5 quicker than I think I would have if I didn't have that experience.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So yeah, then I started Peak Consultancy. It was really with the aim of bringing that modern culture that we have here with technology and just knowing how to automate things and use systems.
Yeah.
And merging it with a Caribbean culture, because we could be a bit stubborn. You True. Know, when we do stuff, 100%. How we do stuff.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to see how I could like add to that. Mm-hmm. And yeah, and then started Bite the Bullet with the lovely Haiti. And now Kristen has joined the team and it's honestly in a place I didn't expect it to be so quickly.
Now you guys have a mini Avengers moment.
We're going to get our
the Lady Avengers. Yeah, you're going to get your Funko Pops.
Yeah, for sure.
Sorry for the interruption, but please like, comment, and subscribe. It helps the channel out so much so we can get this content out to more people that definitely need inspiration, motivation, and that mindset shift to elevate them to the best versions of themselves. Thank you. Checking in, checking out from the sunny side of the kingdom. Bless.
So if you look at the past 2-3 years, and then what was actually, let's tap into one or two of the big, most surprising moments that happened in things that you achieved.
I would say one was a negative, which I think is good to touch on. Mm-hmm. Whereas like the masquerade company that I started for the pandemic, a surprising thing for me was how quickly relationships could like explode or just...
And this is like... intimate relationships or friendships, business relationships?
Those friends that you consider family. Because I started it with a friend and things went left.
Okay.
And I think for me that was a learning point to realize that the rug could be pulled out from underneath you.
Yeah.
And I think that was pivotal for me also from a place of like worrying what other people think. That has helped me to become more, I guess, unapologetic in what I do.
Yeah.
But also being aware of how it impacts other people, because that's also... Yeah. Something that's really important to me. And then I would say another one is really being able to stay connected to home while not being home and finding a way to do that.
Yeah.
I don't think everybody is able to do it. Yeah, just based on the industry you're also in.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because for me, my main thing now is graphic design. Mm-hmm. And you could do that from abroad. It's technology. And you kind of find a way to take advantage of what it could offer. So I think for me, that is, a big thing for my achievements.
Awesome.
Yeah. My mother was telling me, even when I was writing up my information, she was like, make sure you include your school. I was like, because I never really, like, even when people ask me about what I've achieved, I never really include, like, the whole master's and bachelor's. I don't know why. For me, it's like, okay, I've achieved it and I'm happy. But everything else that I've achieved kind of trumps it from a place of, like,
I understand exactly what you mean.
Yeah.
And do you feel like the both the masters and the bachelors that you did it 100% for yourself?
No. Ooh, this is the therapy part. I don't think so. I think, especially with my parents growing up. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I said it on a live show. They always pushed me to achieve like great things. Mm-hmm. And I think it's helped me so much. But I think at times, some things just came from a place of this is the social construct or this is what you're expected to do.
Yeah.
But moving more in my purpose, I realized things kind of went in a different direction.
Yeah.
But they went in the direction they're supposed to go. Because I did learn from my degrees, don't get me wrong.
Yeah, yeah.
But everything I've learned, especially now, majority of it comes from just taking that big leap.
Yeah. Like and sort of the self-interest, self-discovery, exactly. et cetera. So while the degrees are an accomplishment, they are nice.
Yeah.
They hold a certain value. But for you personally, the more weight gets put mm-hmm. on the things that you truly find important.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So I had actually a similar experience.
Yeah.
So I... There were different points where I wanted to, where I was contemplating quitting school, but from also the social construct of the family, I never quite gave up on it. Yeah. In the end, I'm still happy that I went ahead and I finished,
mm-hmm.
but I also know that the path could have gone different, or I could have maybe tapped into certain things a bit earlier and build up that momentum exactly. while you're still young and got all the energy.
Exactly that. And you're taking risks and all that fun stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
But what did you study?
So I started off with information technology.
Okay. Yeah, makes sense.
So hardcore coding.
Yeah.
I very quickly realized that that was not for me. Mm. It was an international study. So out of a class of like 20-something students, there were only three 18-year-olds. Everyone else was like ranging between 18 to 30.
Yep.
And I mean, at that time, I was like 30 years old. I mean, I'm 40 now. So it's not that old. Dang.
It's really not that old. As I got older, I realized all is not that old.
Yeah, all is not that old.
Mm.
But there was this moment in one of these international student housings, and one of my classmates from China. I remember seeing him going into the bathroom with his Java book, and Java is a coding language. And it was like a whole hour later that he came out, and I was like,
he studied in the bathroom?
I guess he took a long time on the throne.
Yeah, right.
And was figuring out all this Java code. And I was like, if it takes this amount of dedication for me to become a programmer,
I don't want this. I understand. I'm not going to, like, because now I'm learning HTML and CSS.
Uh-huh.
I think that's doable. Java scales me.
That's doable.
Yeah,
that's
Java doable. Scales me.
Because that was actually the trigger for me in that study. Okay. In that first year,
mm-hmm.
I either failed or barely passed
or
just passed.
Yeah.
But then I got a 9.5 for web design. So when I was learning CSS and HTML. Yep. And the reason why is because I could create things visually.
Exactly.
And I just needed to do some basic coding to make it look like something.
Exactly.
And then that was fun. So then I really wanted to do that. So then I made a switch 2 years into ICT media design, which is a combination of HTML, CSS, mm-hmm. PHP, back then, programming, design, graphic design, visual design, etc., and communication. So also communication, knowing how to communicate things. So this is an era before social media.
Yeah.
An era before the first iPhone came out. So I was in my study during the time of the iPhone being released and then the App Store coming into existence.
That's
and that's where all the OG stuff comes in. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's interesting. I feel like with the web design and graphic design,
mm-hmm.
that was one of the biggest leaps I took because I never did it.
Yeah.
So even when I decided to quit my job, I kind of did that in a place of like, now I have to force myself to kind of learn, but also because I knew I loved it. Like I love design or just putting things together or just even the whole color theory of stuff.
Mm.
It interests me. So I saw that I could do this and I could continue to do it.
So you do the graphic work for the podcast as well?
I do quite a lot of graphic work, yeah. Like in the first logo we had, I drew that. So and that was kind of a proof of concept for me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have those moments where you know your potential, but you need you need the evidence.
Yeah,
your brain needs to reaffirm, like, okay, my potential's up here, but can I see it?
Yeah.
And that was one of the first things that really had me like, ooh, I could do this. With a web design, I built a website, mm-hmm. and that was another evidence. But with a podcast, I feel like my creative playground has definitely gotten bigger.
Mm.
And I'm learning a lot more.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah.
So let me tap into to some of my questions.
Let's get it. I'm ready.
So we talked about the journey of school and then sort of rediscovering the person that you are. And you're probably still on that journey of discovery right now.
Until we die,
honestly. yeah, for sure. So how do you feel about your current level of being connected to your purpose in life, intertwined with your career?
Honestly, I feel like I know that there's so much I'm still going to do,
mm-hmm.
but I'm really happy in what I've done up to now.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it really just comes from, because it's just made me feel full.
Yeah.
Because I've been able to pour into others.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that's at the core of everything I do. Because, you know, in this economy, we need to make a living and all mm-hmm. that fun stuff. Mm-hmm. But I think the most important thing for me is to find ways to add value that I was looking for.
Yeah.
So, like, even with a podcast, I always wanted to hear an accent.
Mm.
Like, I don't even, not to come for the Americans, but I don't even listen to American podcasts because they irk me. Like, there's something in it that just made me want to twitch. So I would always listen to UK podcasts.
Oh, okay.
So at least there was something there, and they still have that, like, Caribbean twang, because it's Wagwan and all that stuff. So it was the closest thing I could
Wagwan really get. Wagwan brethren.
Okay, and brown.
And then they back to in it, brown.
Yeah, so these man things, them. you know the slang. So these things kind of brought me closer, but I still felt like I was missing something.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So that's why with the podcast, I could feel like it translates exactly what I wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel for a lot of people, there's value in that.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing with my necklaces. I think Sabre being so small, mm-hmm. we forget how amazing the island is because we automatically attribute it to being small. Because it is small, but it's so many other things too.
Yeah.
So I feel like with the necklaces, it's also that conversation opener.
Mm-hmm.
And also for people to remember like where they come from.
Yeah.
Because don't get me wrong, I've said it on the podcast, sometimes I felt like I didn't really belong because my parents are foreigners.
Oh, you mean in Sabre?
Yeah. So there's moments where I was like, I more love, people don't come for me, but I more love the island than like how I felt around the people sometimes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because you know, it's kind of like in St. Martin where family, once your family, like everybody got a kind of, pockets of people.
Yeah.
And in Sabre, it was more so like growing up, I didn't feel like I fit into pockets.
Yeah, because the community is also even more smaller, more of a microcosm.
Exactly.
And the more pockets, of just a few families that...
Exactly. And I basically had to travel for the pockets of the family and whatnot.
Yeah.
So I think for me, even starting the business and everything is kind of a way to, just feel that connectedness.
Mm-hmm.
So, I feel like with my purpose, I just know there's so much more that, like... I know there's so much more, the whole manifestation and writing down. But so far, I'm happy with where I'm, what I've done.
But the beauty and actually growing up in that space where you feel that there was that you sort of had to travel outside to fit into a pocket, it also allowed you to be flexible enough to fit into multiple pockets.
Yeah, 100%.
And not confine yourself to any one given pocket.
That's very true.
Which actually helps to create the bubbly, energetic personality.
Sometimes I'm like, Joey, take it easy. But it has just really come out. But also, I'm going to be so honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this whole feeling of, like, fulfilling my purpose is quite new. Just from a place of like I've been able to adjust my perspective to really see like how I'm operating and keep that at my core. But I think sometimes the things that are at our core, we subconsciously operate that way.
Yeah.
But we don't realize that. And I think recently, even this bubbliness, it's always been there. Don't get me wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I just feel like I'm in a place where I'm tired from a place of like doing so much, but mm-hmm. I'm so happy doing it. I don't mind being tired.
Yeah, yeah.
Also, I know like so much has just started.
Yeah.
So we in that phase of like,
yeah,
I need to do a lot. I need to make sure I'm focused, but I'm not upset about it because I know that I'll have those moments where I can relax.
Yeah.
But right now, my purpose is like extremely.
Build.
Yeah.
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 Extreme focus.
Yeah.
So actually tapping back into something you mentioned earlier about we live in a society where you have to make money.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't function without it. But then some of the biggest fulfillments you get is from being able to pour into others.
Mm-hmm.
So let's just imagine a world where money wasn't an issue.
Mm.
So you had all the money that you needed.
Okay.
And what would Jody Morgan be doing then?
Want to know? I would buy an island and bring back hunter-gathering culture.
What?
You know, I always talk about it. Honestly, if money wasn't a factor.
Yeah.
Because don't get me wrong,
mm-hmm.
technology is great.
Yeah.
But I said this on a pod, I'm not going to tell Siri to turn off my lights. There's things that I just feel like I miss from not even knowing them. So I don't know how or maybe I don't miss them. I desire them from a place of thinking, okay, maybe in this time they felt like this because things were simpler. So I think honestly, I would buy a really pretty island and the people who want the red pill or the blue pill, if you want the red pill, you could stay in a technological era.
Yeah, yeah.
And ask ChatGPT all the fun stuff you want to ask.
So you're basically creating Zion.
Something like, I never saw it like that.
Because when we're talking red pill, blue pill, the matrix,
and then
depending on the pill you take, you either stay in the matrix
or
you come to Zion.
Exactly.
And Zion definitely went back to a more hunter and gathering type of.
But I'll be so real, that's probably something I would do. It's always something I said from a place of like a utopia
and
a big dream, but if I do it, I wouldn't be surprised. Just because I really love the lifestyle of community and simplicity from a place of even what we eat. Like, I don't need to choose between 32 toothpastes.
Oh,
you know,
true.
Just pick one, get some coconut oil, whatever. But also just that, I think the biggest thing is community, because I feel like now we're very individualistic.
Yeah.
And I think the money aspect is what pushes that.
Because
everybody's like, okay, they have a scarcity mindset or whatever, or they think money is, there's a cap.
Yeah.
And I just feel like it's made people focus more on getting the money than the relationships in their life. I can't speak for everybody, but I notice it. So yeah, I'll get my island. We'll play games on like every Friday or something, have bonfires and yeah.
So sounds like an awesome place.
Mm-hmm. And I think I probably, this is going even bigger into the utopia, have islands for like sanctuaries from different things. So some islands could have, this is really big. Like, I don't know how much money I'm getting, but it's just not a factor.
It's just not a factor.
Well, let's go. So it would have like safe spaces for certain problems we experience in the world. Like even with the schooling system, maybe I would have an island where, and I'm really, so like spitting this
so
out.
I just actually tapped into one.
Yeah,
of these.
I never thought of this. I just thought of the island for me and my family and the people who want to come.
Yeah, yeah.
But beyond that, I would definitely have an island for like, because we see that the school curriculum and everything,
it hasn't evolved that much.
Exactly.
Okay.
So I feel like I would create a system that caters to everybody and their different learning styles, but also from a place of like, you know how we go to learn HTML, CSS, and then they give us JavaScript and all of that.
Yeah.
Maybe I don't want a JavaScript. So have a system that could really tailor things so people could walk in their current or swim in their current
and not
have to feel like they're being shoved into other ones. And then maybe some other islands for like, I don't know, people who just want to farm. Something like that.
Then we have the exchanges, because then the farmers, they bring the goods to us. Those that are learning the coding can then help the farmers become more efficient.
And then we would have an island for podcasts.
Ah.
So all the podcasters could go to that island and then they could send us all their podcasts. Yep.
So then we invite the farmers and the technologists as guests. We interconnected. Awesome. Watch,
give us like a couple of years.
We putting it out there.
But yeah, that's how we do.
All right. So let's continue on the vibe of the islands. So okay. We're now going back to the tiny 5 square mile island of Sabah with 2,000 inhabitants.
Yeah.
I've been there 3 times in my life.
Okay. What are your thoughts?
Each time was a magical experience.
I get it.
In 2018, I visited, that year was the first year that I visited all 6 islands in the same year.
Yeah.
And what I saw is that there's like the landscape, the people, everything, there's a certain amount of similarities, but each island has certain characteristics that are very uniquely that specific island. Yep. And Sabah has the nickname the Unspoiled Queen.
Yep.
And Sabah is the island where you do feel the most amount of tranquility, quietness, and rest.
It's true.
I don't think my personality would survive there long enough.
You would get bored quick.
But definitely ejecting and going to that and spending some time in that is perfect.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
I always say I want to retire in Sabah. So people always ask me, would you move back? No hesitation, no.
Yeah.
I would go for like short periods of time to do projects or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But for retirement, I would definitely
perfect.
Go up on the hill somewhere.
Yeah. Because the amount of greenery, then you have those different moments, like if it's a little bit cloudy, but then you like sitting still just above the clouds, depending on where you're at.
That's always
what you call the morning dew.
Yeah,
it's like it's something different.
It is.
It's the only other place. So I also lived in Dominica.
Okay.
And Sabah is like a mini Dominica.
That's funny too, because we don't have beaches either.
Yeah,
Dominica only have rivers, right?
They have beaches, but it's not like the pearly white sand beaches. Yeah. So some of them are volcanic, and
sand is black.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's more like that.
Okay.
So it's not the type of beach island, but it's a river island.
Okay, good.
You can bathe in the river. You can drink the water.
Exactly.
You can cook by the river. You put a couple of rocks in you.
You know what I find so cool? How similar, and it makes sense because they're close in proximity, the Dominican and the Salusian accent is.
Oh, yeah.
One time I know, when they say my girl, I know Salusian.
Mm.
With Dominica, I have to really listen and be like, okay, is this Salusian or Dominican? Which is crazy, but...
Because now every time I go to St. Martin and I talk to somebody, I'm like, you from Dominica? And then half of the time I hear no St. Lucia. I'm like, see, I haven't visited St. Lucia yet.
You would love it.
Yeah.
You need to go to the Pitons, go to the volcano where you could bathe in the sulfur.
Mm.
It smells like egg, but it's so nice.
But even that, both islands have a lot of similarities in their nature. Because you have the sulfur springs in Dominica as well, and the rivers and all the beauty. But from what I understood, St. Lucia is a more developed Dominica.
Okay. I've never been to Dominica, but I could understand that.
Yeah.
Because I find St. Lucia quite developed.
Yeah.
I'm actually going in April.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah.
So what's happening in April? Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
So I'm going to go with my parents, and they have like John Legend and Don Killer. Yeah.
Awesome.
I'm excited about that.
Okay. So tapping back, I didn't even get to ask the question, but growing up in Sabah, what was life like growing up in Sabah with...
Ooh.
So your dad is from St. Lucia, and your mom is from Suriname.
I had so much fun growing up, to be honest, because I lived right next to a park.
Mm-hmm.
So I was always outside and I was always curious. Like, the funny thing is, I knew there were some moments where I looked back and I was like, okay, I know this is when my creativity showed. Because we had this big rock in the park and that became the kitchen. Because the rock was now like the sink. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes it would become like the cutting area. So I always had like my imagination running. Yeah. The acorns, they would always drop. So I would take them up and smash them with another rock. But I was always outside, but from a place of like having fun. I'm not going to lie, not too much because my father was quite strict.
Okay.
But I had the balance because my father was strict, but my mom was less strict. Mm-hmm. She was still strict, but not so intense because, you know, Caribbean parents, can be, like if you don't clean your room, you can't leave the house. Mm. Sunday morning, he's coming with his little, because we had banana trees, so he'd come with his machete. And my bed frame was metal, and he would hit the machete to wake me up. And he would tell me it's 9 o'clock, but it's 8. He would be like, yeah, you need to get up. And then you know you have to do yard work.
But you know, English islands also got a whole different dynamic.
It's insane. We mix cement manually, not even with the rotator thingy. Because sometimes my sister and I, because I grew up with my sister.
So is only girls he had?
So he had one boy and two girls.
Okay.
And I was growing up with my sister. My brother, he was in New York. And he still is in New York.
Yeah.
But we always used to say he wanted boys. Because we did I learned how to weld a muffler.
What? Yeah. I don't even know how to do that.
Honestly, it's not as hard as it seems. But yeah, so growing up, I had a good balance of like strictness from a place of structure and fun. And I think there was, of course, more leaning towards the stricter side.
Yeah.
So I feel like I got a good foundation.
Yeah.
Sometimes I went against it. Yeah. But I do understand it more now. You know, they always say you understand why your parents said or did certain things.
Yep.
I understand. But in my school period, I was always bubbly. But I had that phase of not being bubbly anymore. Because I think that's where feeling out of the pockets came in. Where
So that was then in like 14, 15, 16-ish?
I would say from 12.
From 12, yeah.
Actually.
Yeah.
Because I was
That's when it kind of starts,
And you know school is...
Yep.
Them kids ain't nice. And I was bullied quite a bit because I was tall. I am tall. Yeah. I also had glasses. Mm. And my mother got me the ugliest glasses that was in the store. They was diamond glasses. And I was like, and it made my eyes way worse because I always took them off when I got to school. So it was very different for me.
Yeah.
But it definitely shaped me because I think the times I was bubbly, I could be present, enjoy life. But the times that things got hard, my skin got thicker, for sure. Because I feel like I did go through quite a bit. And it kind of put me in a place of, like, people-pleasing. Because you think, oh, they don't like me, but what can I do for them to like me? So it changes that mindset. Mm-hmm. But as I came to the Netherlands, it switched back, thankfully. Because you kind of, you don't, I wouldn't even say you lose yourself. You just discover different versions of yourself.
Yeah.
But, yeah, growing up, I just feel like I'm so grateful to be born in the Caribbean because I think if I look at kids in the Netherlands, they don't even go outside anymore. And I know we're in the more technological era, but I think the thing that I value the most is that ability to be in nature.
Yeah.
And it translates to how I am now because I like to go on my morning walks. And there's like a park right by me and I just listen to the birds talk to me. But yeah.
So not even with music then on the morning walks.
Yeah. And that's new because before I would have a podcast or just music, but not even music with words. Like I said on the pod, it's just beats.
Yeah, I saw recently you was talking about binaural beats.
Or frequencies. You have the however 777 hertz or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They just keep me calm or lo-fi. Sometimes I would just have lo-fi. But I was listening to a podcast where they said even your phone being in your pocket could affect how present you are. So I stopped going with my phone.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And I thought I could feel the difference in the walk, which was crazy because I just felt like I was more present and I just felt lighter.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. It is. And even they say that, like, if you having dinner, having your phone, even though you don't have it there with the intention of going to be on it, just it being there could affect how you communicate.
Engage in the...
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they say sometimes, like, to help, because your phone gives you dopamine. But if you light a candle, it could give you the similar dopamine that you get from the screen.
If you light a candle?
Yeah.
Okay.
So if you're having dinner, and, like, say your phone is really a habit you're trying to kick, or I'm getting into my
Yeah.
If you light a candle and you have it in the middle of the table, it helps like keep your dopamine at a place where it's at baseline, but it doesn't
it's
make you feel
not spiking
urge.
Too much.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I don't even know where this came about though.
Yeah. I mean, it happens.
Oh, the nature. Yes. Yeah, I enjoy being in nature.
and growing up. Yeah. So how would you say your Caribbean roots has influenced your career and some of your career choices?
Well, one thing I would say, we know Caribbean people are strong, resilient people. Mm-hmm. I really noticed that, especially my parents. Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't even say like...
Because your parents are entrepreneurs, right?
Yes.
Okay.
And that was one of the biggest influences for me because growing up and seeing that allowed me to see it was possible for myself.
Yeah.
And I think that's important because sometimes we don't think things are possible because we can't see it from like people in or who look like us. And this was people who birthed me.
Yeah.
So that was even a stronger tie. Mm-hmm. And I think just being in the Caribbean itself, the funny part is growing up on Saba and it being so small influenced me to think big because I was like, I don't want to fall in the trap of being on a small island and then continuing to think small or thinking that I could get imposter syndrome from being in certain rooms because I don't think like I'm big enough for.
But did you guys travel a lot?
Yeah.
Okay. Because it had to come from somewhere that you would think beyond. If you didn't really travel, then
exactly
you wouldn't
that.
Really see beyond
exactly
either.
Exactly that. Yeah. And I think that's one of the privileges that have shaped me more. I don't think I know.
Yeah.
Like, I was even saying that when
So they gifted you the example of entrepreneurship, gifted you the example of the world is bigger than just the tiny rock that we
and
live on.
That's why one of my purposes, and especially a big one, is to share that. Because I feel like for me, being born where I was born in itself was a privilege and just having the ability and the means, because I wouldn't say we was guapping or whatever, but we had the ability to travel.
Yeah.
And I think I'm so grateful for that because I was saying like, when I have kids, I would want them to go somewhere else. If they just want to move, just move somewhere else because the lessons you get from that, you can't read about it.
No.
You know, you have to. And I think, being from the Caribbean and the ability to move out of such a small island to such a big place, that in itself was a big, it had a big impact on me.
Yeah.
And I also, like, because of my parents, I was very open to traveling to other places. So, like, for my internship, I went to Malaysia. And
then
I lived there. That was insane. I lived there for 6 months. And that also was another pivotal moment because I just felt like I was reintroducing myself to myself.
Yeah.
Like even when I came to the Netherlands, a whole new Jody was made.
Yeah.
When I moved to Malaysia and came back, that was a new me that came. So yeah, I would say being from the Caribbean and having the ability to travel beyond it while being on an island that you feel so limited in allows you to be more curious about what is limitless in a sense. Yeah.
So it also allows you to maybe tap more into your imagination and
100%.
Dream up of all the possibilities.
Yeah. And I think just being on, like, Saba in itself, you've seen it, the beauty of the island. Seeing that, I think also allows you to tap into your creativity because there's so much to see even on those 5 square miles.
Yeah.
So, yeah. That.
Awesome.
It's really, I never really think about these things, to be honest. So I understand why this is now Sunside Therapy.
Sunside Therapy.
I could trademark that.
Growing up, then we flowing into like those teenage years, we flowing into the 20s. Well, you haven't arrived at the 30s as yet. But along the way, who would you say were your mentors along your journey?
Okay.
So the people that really helped to guide you or had a particular impact on the way that you do things. And these can be people that were like really physically in your life, but also perhaps people that you tuned into online in a deeper, darker place in life.
That part. Well, we know my parents for sure. I would say they've taught me many different things, even aside from entrepreneurship, because they're still together. And I feel like the one thing I love that I saw was, like, love.
Mm-hmm.
I think with regards to somebody who's definitely pushed me from a place of they're my best friend, they're my mentor, they're my therapist, is mm-hmm. my mom.
Okay.
Because we're very close. Yeah. And she's just, from when I was small, I always thought, wow, this is a strong woman. You know, she has her businesses and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, I just feel like that gave me a good example of becoming a strong woman myself.
Yeah.
And my father also showed me the part of having the support of people in your life. Because I feel like looking at him and how much he supports my mom.
Yeah.
And they support each other in general.
Mm-hmm.
Also helped me kind of shape an example of, like, the people around me, because I could see how much it could push you further.
Yeah.
And I would say books have definitely mentored me. I think some of the books I read, like, I don't know if you read The Courage to Be Disliked.
No.
You would love it. Okay. I definitely think you would love it because it focuses on philosophy.
Mm.
And that's new territory for me, but it's such interesting territory.
Mm-hmm.
And they talk a lot about, like, Plato.
Okay.
He's one of the, I don't really know him like that. But there's another one, and he spoke about, like, Adlerian psychology and how the book is basically structured. It's a conversation between a youth and a philosopher.
Okay.
And the youth has a specific, like, perspective on life, but it's mm-hmm. more to the negative side.
Mm.
And he tries to debunk or find ways to have valid arguments against what the philosopher thinks life is, because the philosopher is very, life is simple, you know, happiness is a choice,
yeah,
all of that fun stuff, but it goes deep. Like, they even speak about trauma. And I think those books have helped shape me from a place of, one, putting into perspective things I already know but couldn't translate,
mm-hmm.
and two, just learning about life from a place of, even though somebody's not talking to me, I'm kind of talking to myself because I'm reading the book in my head. Yeah. It's a weird kind of process I have. But that, and on the more spiritual side.
Yeah.
You probably know Joe Dispenza.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I listened
to. I had to think for a second.
Yeah.
He's
the whole become supernatural stuff like that. But just from a place of realizing how much of our energy we could tap into and how to kind of shape our life around that.
Yeah.
That has helped me a lot because, yeah, I feel like in moments where I felt like I was losing myself or like I didn't have control,
mm-hmm.
I leaned on that to know that I have faith even in God and how things are going to go.
Yeah.
And that I don't need to be in an energy that's continuously negative because I'm going to continue to see things that are negative.
True.
So that helped.
Because the whatever you feed, you'll get more of.
Exactly.
So if you feed into the negativity, you'll end up with more of it.
Exactly.
Feeding into the positivity will bring more of that.
And I always tell, like, people in my life, if you wake up and you say, I'm going to see green today, you will see green.
Mm-hmm.
And you will see more things that are green than that are actually there. But as if you say, I'm going to see red. So whatever, how you choose to, or what intention you set is how your life is going to go. And that's something I'm still grasping and understanding more.
Yeah.
But I would say that has mentored me in a way that helps me, one, deal with what I'm dealing with qua work.
Because
sometimes you feel like you're drowning.
Yeah.
Or there's not enough hours in the day.
Oh, for sure.
So it helps me cope. And that's why I say I'm ready for this 9 year. It's an inside joke. But yes, I am. Because I just feel like it's going to teach me how to handle things, because every year my goal is to push my limits and just see what I could do, get that evidence. And yeah, other than that, it's podcasts. Like, I listen to Diary of a CEO.
Okay.
You have the one with Jay Shetty, and what's his name, Huberman, the Huberman Lab. That's more scientific, though.
Oh, I don't know that one.
It talks about all the dopamine, serotonin, the chemicals in your body. For me, that one is more neuroscience.
Yeah,
but that's the curiosity in me, wondering, like, you know, like, serotonin is actually in your bowels. And there's so many different facts that comes from it. And I'm like, ooh, this is interesting. Yeah. So that mentors me in understanding myself more from a almost physical but more chemical place.
Interesting.
Yeah. It's quite different.
Quite different indeed.
Wait, who have been your mentors? Out of curiosity. No, I'm really curious, to be honest.
You know what's funny?
What?
Haiti asked me the exact same question.
It almost, you can tell he's a podcast host with a podcast host.
It almost the exact same sort of flow. And then I started to answer the question and I kind of elaborated a bit too long and then I stopped.
Oh.
So I actually didn't get to answer there the second go. Part of the
okay.
question.
Let's
so
hear I'll, it.
So well, I answered earlier about a few to do with the music industry. So that was in the early days. Mm-hmm. Also, like as a kid growing up, I have six sisters. Five of them are older than me, mm-hmm. so they also played a role in my younger years.
Okay,
and also my mom as well. And then in the music industry, I was like a big fan of Nas, Mobb Deep, Eminem. These were the ones that I really honed into in the beginning. And then later on, I kind of tapped more into Jay-Z's stuff as he retired and came back and was like, I'm not a businessman. I'm a businessman. So that and at that moment, I was starting to get into my business version of myself. So I tapped into that a bit. But then once I transitioned away from music and more into entrepreneurship, it actually ended up being a couple people in different seasons.
That makes sense.
Yeah. So starting the business, I started from home and in the spare bedroom. My wife would go to work. She was working at the Rabobank at the time.
Okay.
So she's coming home at 5-6 o'clock, like ready to just pass out on
and
the couch.
And
I'm like, yo, let's get out the house. Because I've been home all day. This wasn't the time when working from home was cool, right? Because you didn't have that much interaction or the little coffee tenches or all the different places to go. And then I ran into one of my old teachers that asked me how I was doing. I told him that I started a business very proud. He's like, oh, how? Where? I said, from home. Oh, how's that going?
Yeah.
And I was like, well, it could go better. Yeah. But I mean, I'm just scratching by to afford my rent at home. So I can't afford a rent office space yet. But then he told me, hey, have you checked out Stripe? So that's this area that we in.
Yeah.
And then introduced me to a co-working space. And at the time, I never even really knew anything about
it
these
wasn't
co-working.
Like
no,
that.
This is 2011.
Oh,
yes.
Okay.
And I went there and I was like, wow, this exists? This is awesome.
Mm-hmm. Brand new world.
It costs €90 a month for the desk.
If only that was the case now. Now it's like four something.
Yeah, I know.
Wow.
But at the time,
yeah.
I was like, ooh, €90.
That's doable.
No. At the time, well, if I go all the way back in 2010, yeah, I can say this proudly now. In 2010, well, I graduated in 2010, so more or less from August to December was like my full-time working, and I made €3,000 for that period.
Okay.
So basically my first year of being an entrepreneur, I made €3,000.
Okay.
So you can imagine you can't really live off of €3,000 for the year. Not
for
the month, people. For
month
the year.
A different story. Not even a quarter. Yeah.
So, and then in 2011, I made a bit more. I think eventually at the end of the year, I got up to like 15K.
Okay.
But 15K is still below minimum wage.
Exactly.
Right? Yep. So that €90 felt like it was a leap. But that was one of those first times as an entrepreneur. It was like, okay, I do want to take this leap.
Yeah.
Because everything in me feels like this is the right move to make,
exactly.
even though I don't know where the money is going to come from.
You go figure it out.
But I feel like I need to do this. And no one in my environment would tell me, yes, encourage me and go do this. Everyone was encouraging me, go find a job,
exactly.
security, insurance, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Like, go do that. Why are you here scratching around with this stuff?
Yep.
So then I ended up collaborating quite intensely with him.
Mm-hmm.
Tice, shout out if you're seeing this. And he definitely introduced me to a lot of things, and helped sort of gave me that space to just be myself and enter this world of business here in the south of the Netherlands.
Okay.
I won't elaborate on all the others, but in different moments, then there was someone else that introduced me to some bigger assignments, and I collaborated together with him to serve his biggest client.
Okay.
And that even led me to fly into Denmark and other places. Then a few years later got, that's actually a funny story. So right here in this building, I was finishing up some work that I was doing for then another big client that we scored. So this about 11 years ago.
Yeah.
And I was feeling good. It was a Friday evening or something. Mm-hmm. And I had like one of those Bose speakers.
Yeah.
And I was renting just a desk in the space at the time. And I went outside with the Bose speaker and I was gonna head. I don't even, was I driving? Yeah, I had a car. Because there was also a period with no car. But anyways.
Yeah.
So I was playing my music and going outside. And then I saw this American guy. I didn't know he was American. So I was just like, oh, let me turn down the music before I'm looking to Negro-ish right now. Coming out.
Play. Fit the stereotype.
Exactly.
Whatever.
Exactly. Yeah. And then he's like, no, turn it up. I was like, what? Who are you?
Turn that shit up, bro.
And then we got to talking, like we introduced ourselves. And then when he heard what I do, he said, oh, well, we actually have an assignment now that we're looking to finalize in Paris, blah, blah, blah. Would you be interested? Okay. And in my head, I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Yes.
Duh. Mm-hmm.
And from that moment on, that ended up turning into like a 2-year trajectory of working very intensely together. Paris, Czech Republic, Ireland.
With that though, because really this question been ringing in my head, because I know my goal is to travel. My goal is to be a nomad, you know, get clients and travel. Was this your goal? Because you travel a lot for what you do.
Yes.
Okay.
It was, but it was never
like at the forefront of your goal.
At the forefront of the goal. It was at some point it was a wish.
Yeah.
It was a desire.
Mm-hmm.
But my desire in the early days was just to be self-sustainable.
Understandable.
That was the main goal. And then at some point it went from being self-sustainable to wanting to share my story with my people.
Yeah.
So in 2011 was that when I first, actually I'm getting distracted now because I'm like, we actually going back and forth too much. I'm supposed to be asking
question. Sorry. It's just interesting. Okay, come, 2011, let me finish.
Okay, let me wrap that up and then we get it back to you, Jody.
Sorry.
You're on the couch.
It's Jojo Renee sitting on the couch.
Yeah. Getting back to Jody.
Yeah, we're coming.
Shit. So 2011 when I first entered that co-working space.
Yeah.
And I saw that this was possible. Something in me triggered that I have to tell my people that this is possible. Because they don't know.
Yep.
They're still being forced into becoming lawyers and doctors and accountants and these are the boxes and nothing else is possible. Mm-hmm. Like we don't know this exists. This exists.
100%.
Somebody got to tell them.
It's true.
So obviously in the little community you have, you would start to share it, invite people over, all of that good stuff. But then by 2014, I actually started doing some of those first presentations like, what you saw that I did in November.
Yeah.
So in 2014, I did like the very first version of those type of presentations.
Okay.
And then from there, I continued to do those wherever there were opportunities to do those. And then the more I did it and the more I traveled and the more I got connected is the more people that hears your story, more people get interested, then you start getting invited. Then in some cases, there's like a decent money involved. In other cases, just a plane ticket. And exactly. And you pay for your own stay, your own food, etc. And then in those moments, you have to choose now, how important is this for me in my progress, in my life, in what I find important? Mm-hmm. And in some of those, and well, practically most of those cases, I'm like, the most important thing for me is to actually share the message and connect with others. Yeah. And if I can and I'm able to do it in that moment, then I can roll the dice on that.
Exactly.
At some point, you'll also have to make some more...
Self-sustaining side and stuff.
Exactly.
But sometimes we see the value beyond the money, and that's what helps. Especially if you're in a place where you're okay. Like, mm-hmm. it's not like, okay, if I take this, I'm traveling. I got to pay for stuff, but guys, things are tight. It's more so I'm okay, and the value that I get beyond just like a plane ticket rather than, you know, the extra payment is in speaking to people. So, I like that. Okay. I was just curious. We can get back to me. I couldn't help myself.
So you're 27 right now, right? So if we go back 9 years.
Jeez.
To the 18-year-old
Jody. I'm trying to see where I was. I was having a house party in my grandmother's house.
In
on
Sable.
My 18th birthday in the Netherlands.
In the Netherlands. Okay. Yeah. So your grandma lived here.
Yeah. Okay. My mom and her family moved here when she was younger. So she grew up in the Netherlands.
Oh, okay.
But she's from Suriname. But the day of making 18, that's where I was.
And you had moved just a few months before that? Or?
Yeah, so I moved to August before that. So I made 18 in December, and I moved to August before that. Yeah.
So what advice would you give that partying young lady at grandma's house in the Netherlands?
Based I would tell her, hold it down on the party.
Hold it down on the party.
You know, you have those moments where you come and you just go crazy. But
you know, sorry to interject.
No, that's fine.
Because I go ask it on the pod, but that was neither bedoeling. Mm. But you remember the gala parties that there used to be?
One of them was on my birthday.
And was that like the last one before the pandemic?
Yeah, you was there.
Yes. Because you was a bit wilded out at that
no,
party.
Man.
No,
yeah.
No, okay. Because afterwards, I realized, wait a minute, that she was one in that young group that was.
So you saw me before we even meet, and that's where you get wow. I wasn't wilding out that bad.
But let's say for the consensus, it was standing out.
We were staying in the hotel and we took the slippers from the hotel.
Yes, I remember all of that.
My
because I like what's
clocks.
why where the shoes gone?
That was insane.
Where the shoes
gone? And you know when they play Clarks by Vibes Cartel, that was it. That was wow.
But you know what that also was for me? That was one of those transition moments because a few years back. So that's probably before you guys would have been at all the parties or whatever. Yeah. It would have been maybe myself and some of my group that would be a bit extra, mm-hmm. a bit extra,
a bit
and then a bit wild. And by that time now we have kids, everything.
Yeah, so
we already kind of calmed down, and they were like, "Wait, who is these wild children now taking?"
And I was a child too. I think I was maybe 21. I think that was my 21st birthday or something. Anyways, that was a good night. I enjoyed my birthday.
Yeah,
but
if
I really had to go and have a chat with 18-year-old me, whoo, let me really think, because I told you I wasn't going to think about a question.
Mm-hmm.
I would really let her know that things going to be tough at times, and sometimes you're going to feel like you're not in control.
Mm-hmm.
But as the part of the process of, I guess, finding yourself when you lose yourself in moments, I think for me, I used to kind of hold on to this feeling of needing to be perfect.
Mm.
And that's not helpful to anybody because you forget to be you. And just let her know that authenticity is loud even when you're quiet and stay in that.
Yeah.
Because I think sometimes everywhere else, especially now with social media, there's so much noise and there's so much comparison that you could make. But really going on those walks while your phone or journaling could help you realize what you want and not what you want because other people have it.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So it'll be quiet, a nice little quiet all the outside noise and tap it more and more into the inner self.
Yeah, because at the end of the day, what matters is what you think about you.
Yeah.
And that influences how you're able to show up for yourself, but also for other people. Because I feel like in times where I doubted myself or in times where I was just hard on myself, I projected that onto my friends or just the people in my life. And I feel like how you feel inside, or you know how they say people could only meet you as deep as they've met themselves?
Oh, yeah.
I really believe in that. Because even me forming a better relationship with like love in terms of self-love and just in general, I realize how much I'm able to feel it from other people, but also give it because now I have more capacity to do that.
Yeah.
And I think focusing on those things that are innate within us rather than focusing on what you're wearing or, you know, what you have.
Yeah.
I think that's going to lead my 18-year-old self in a great direction.
Awesome. Yeah. Awesome. Very introspective.
Right. It's all about the self. I feel like, even with the books I read, they say how it gets deep with the books I read. And to be honest, one I'm listening to now is on Audible. And I get off track sometimes. But they really say, like, you know, about the energy and stuff. But an atom, for example, is a wave until you look at it. So
it's a wave
could be an atom or something. But so the energy itself is a wave. So they have labs or whatever where they kind of test these things. And it doesn't become matter until you look at it.
Yeah.
So they kind of relate that to how you view life, where it's like there's so many waves going on around you, but what you focus on becomes matter. And I think that's where I'm like so focused on self, but not from a place of what I do for myself or like the whole selfish aspect, but more so how I show up.
Self-development.
Exactly. Because it directly...
And becoming the best self.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It really does directly influence my life. And I think with social media, we have a distorted view of what the best self is. Because the best self is now more external than internal.
Yeah.
At least from what I see. So I think that's why... I think I really got pushed into this because I was so in a place where it was more external. So I do feel like sometimes you do have to go through the challenges. I wouldn't say it was that bad.
Yeah.
But for my view, it was bad where I was like, okay, no, I don't like how I feel. You know, I don't like this. So I think my coping mechanism was to self-develop, basically. Yeah,
I mean, that's a pretty good coping mechanism.
Yeah, at least it's not eating ice cream or something like that. I'm grateful for that because I just feel uncomfortable.
Yeah.
So I know that to get comfortable, even if it's doing a puzzle.
So kind of in that journey, then a lot of it... at least from what I'm understanding, a lot of it was a lot of external factors played a big role throughout your teens, even throughout the college experience.
100%.
And at some point, then that switch came and you started going internal. And once you started going internal, you started going very deep internal.
Yeah.
Because you're talking about chemical balances, neuroscience, I mean.
It's just so interesting. I don't know why. I'm just really curious about it.
Yeah.
But you know, the funny thing is one of the internal activities wasn't even for me to go internal. So I started meditating, I think, when I was, I would say 20.
Yeah.
But it wasn't because, oh, I wanted to be Zen. It was because I had sleep paralysis. And I always Googled stuff because I always have questions. Like I was telling Claire, I question everything. And I think that's just from a place of, I'm just curious.
Yeah.
And I wanted to know how to stop it because it was honestly the scariest thing I've ever experienced because your mind is awake, but your body's asleep.
Yeah, yeah.
And the mind plays games with you because if you're in a state of not being in control, you become fearful.
Yeah.
When that happens, you start to think of things that are not there.
Yeah.
And that's what would happen when I would get sleep paralysis. So I tried to kind of yeah, find ways to get rid of it. And meditation helps a lot because it helps you control your mind more from a place of like, everybody thinks you need to be, your mind needs to be blank, but that's not the case. Mm. It's more so as you meditate, you learn more and more how to be more aware of your thoughts. Mm. Because rather than, say, standing under the waterfall, you stand behind it and observe it. Mm. And I think with the whole thing of meditating, the side effect, which benefited me, was being able to be more aware. Mm. And I think that's where the whole self-development journey really started to accelerate.
Well, that would make sense, because if you started this at 20, then each step of the way, as more things start to unlock, it also helps to create the space to internalize those things.
Yeah. I just think it's important for people to find a coping that's not scrolling.
Yeah. Yeah. That's not a coping mechanism. Hmm. That's an addiction.
That part, exactly that. But yeah,
sometimes I catch myself and I like put the phone way back.
You know, I even have a lock case for my phone.
Yeah,
you put it in there for, and you can't open it. So I put it in. Now it's standard 3 hours.
Oh wow!
And I cannot. And I do this thing now. Mm-hmm. I do not sleep in the room. My phone is not in my room. And I'm not going to lie, for anybody who's struggling, like with even in the mornings or nighttime, just they're grabbing for the phone. Leave out of your room. It gonna be a bit tough in the beginning. Don't get me wrong. We all are slaves to our phones.
Yeah.
However, it's benefited my life so much. I just have an alarm clock, the light up one. Mm-hmm. And then birds start chirping. And it has an artificial sun for when it's cold and winter, like now.
The Philips one?
Yeah. Okay. The Philips Lumia or something.
Yeah.
I love it. That's my baby. But yeah, it really helped me not...
Mentors that I mentioned, the American guy, I believe he actually worked on that project because he worked for Philips Design for like 20
years. Big up him. If he's listening to this, that alarm clock changed my life. Because if you're waking up in darkness and you're hearing birds, it's not the same as waking up with an artificial sun in your room.
Yeah.
And you actually, and they say, I can get science-y. We have time. So they say you're supposed to get a specific amount of light in the morning. So that your circadian rhythm could reset.
Exactly.
And then the melatonin forms, well, starts to produce again in the night when it's supposed to. Mm-hmm. But now, because if you look at it, when we was in the woods and stuff, we had the natural light of the sun. But now we have screens and all of this. So our circadian rhythms are all out of loop.
Yeah, all out of whack.
And they say you're supposed to get 100,000 lux. So lux is the measurement of the rays of light.
100,000?
No, but listen. From the sun, if you go and look at the sun on a cloudy day, I think it's like 30-something thousand for like 5 minutes.
Oh, wow.
You understand? But on like a sunny day, you could get up to 100,000, I think in a 10-minute, just, and you don't look directly at the sun because some of the people said look directly. That could mess up your cornea.
Yeah.
But just being outside and letting your body know it's daytime.
But then I'm interested how these lux are. Sorry, I go.
So on your phone.
Because I have the meter. Because at some point in one of my first offices, I went with all the hue light in and I thought it was cool. and then I my eyes always been pretty good.
Mm, can't relate. Yeah, I had surgery.
But then the guy was telling me in here it's too dark. And this will damage your eyes over time. Okay. And then he introduced me to the lux meter and showed me to measure and then also in which spot. So then I added additional light to the hue light in to basically like fill up the room.
Yeah.
And then the hue light in would be there and also give it a bit of the extra sauce.
Okay. How much did it measure up to? Like, do you remember
the first time with just the hue lights that were in there was only like 350.
Exactly. And that's the thing with your phone is like 100 flat. So it's that thing of like, we go on our phones, but there's no indication that we're awake in a place of like for your circadian rhythm. So for me, what helped was like going outside. That's what started the Huberman Lab is what got me on this. This is all the science thing. It's interesting.
I might have to check out this science
thing. You should. It's cool. It's long, but it's cool.
I want to thank you very, very much for coming all the way to Anche to be here with us today.
Behind God's back. Sorry, but y'all are far.
We're far, but we're the technology hub of this country.
I literally know Eindhoven for Philips.
Yeah?
Literally. And the cement. There's, I don't remember what it is, but somebody invented cement that could be remade into liquid cement. So once it dries, it could...
Yeah, we're definitely an invention city.
Yeah.
There's a particular place in the city called the High Tech Campus.
I've been.
And that is about 1 or 2 square kilometers.
Mm-hmm.
And it has the most concentration of patents filed and approved in the entire country. And I also believe in Europe. And it held that for quite some years.
Wow.
So there's been lots. And like you're right now sitting in the clock about.
Yep.
Which produced Philips lights over 100 years ago, like about 100 years ago.
Mm.
And just across the street, the DVD was invented, the CD was invented.
That is crazy.
A lot of things were invented right here in this particular region. So it holds a lot of history.
Exactly. But even the first time I came here was for a TED Talk.
Oh, wow.
I just feel like Eindhoven, and the first TED Talk was a girl who invented a car from reusable material, and it also runs on like water or something. Mm. It was insane. And I was like, wow.
So they probably came from the TU, from the Technical University of
Eindhoven. Oh, that's the one I went to.
Yeah.
I had a minor there.
Awesome.
But thank you for having me. I really enjoyed this.
Our first Saban.
Yay! Big of us. I'm glad I could, hold a baton. What did it say?
Yeah. Pass.
It's past the baton, but I changed it. You're holding the baton. I'm holding it now, guys. But yeah,
Because you can't pass it yet. We need the next Saban before you can pass it to them. So.
And I hope you get another Saban. Yeah, because I feel like our voices need to definitely be out there.
But then you'll have to let me know which Sabans fit the criteria.
For sure.
But we'll talk about that afterwards.
Off camera.
Yeah. And... also, thank you for inviting me to you guys' show. The live show was amazing. I had a wonderful time. We documented some of the experience behind the scenes.
Footage.
And I think that's definitely going to be lit too.
Yeah, I think he was a really great addition. Just from a place of being the OG for one. Because if we noticed, there was a good contrast between everybody who was on the stage,
because
you had the creative, you had the more technical, and you had just an expression that is more physical.
Yeah.
And I think all of y'all just came with a beauty in just what y'all were saying, especially with you and your analysis paralysis. That's my motto from the night, from what you say, because I know analysis paralysis. I'm like, yeah, he know what he's talking about. So we did appreciate you coming on. And just also the full circle moment of now we on your pod.
Yeah.
You know you're coming to the studio. 100%.
For sure.
But yeah, thank you.
I think we got lots of awesome, amazing stuff to do in the future.
Yeah. I'm excited.
Awesome.
I hope, are you ready? Just say.
Are you guys ready? If you are ready, then you should be liking, subscribing, and commenting.
You should have told me that. I would have slipped that in creatively somewhere. If you watch the pod, yesterday we was talking about something about, and people really should be along these lines. And I was like, you know what people should also do?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like comment and subscribe. If you haven't done that, I don't know why you're here, but get it together.
Yeah, so let them know.
Oh, should I plug myself in now?
Sure.
Okay, Bite the Bullet Podcast. It's a great podcast where we have unfiltered, honest conversations. It's a safe space for people to relate to some things in life, from men to women to just challenges we face on a daily, and just have those conversations that people kind of shy away from. So if you would love to join, please pull up. It's fun over there. It's also fun here. So if you haven't subscribed here, subscribe. And as you're at it, subscribe to Bite the Bullet Podcast. Yeah, that's my plug.
Awesome. Thank you. And we'll have all the links down below in the description. Thanks for tuning in, guys. See you in the next one. Bless.
Woo! That was so much fun. Oh my gosh.